I'm Jordan Patswold. It is the last Friday of the month, and joining me in studio is David Disty, another edition of Heart to Heart. And David, it's great to have you back with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you?
Not too bad. Belated Merry Christmas. Soon to be Happy New Year, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You too, Jordan.
And well, with that, it's kind of going to be our inspiration for the show today. Last Friday of the year, 2018.
Yeah, as you said earlier, we're 1 year or 31 years away from the 90s. So we're like
1990. Yeah, I can't believe that that decade will soon be described as being 30 years ago. Like, it
makes me feel old.
Me too. But yeah, looking forward to our discussion today. With the new year, people bring about just thoughts of some call it resolutions to improve themselves in a new year, and using the calendar as their guide in that regard. Maybe you're not going to use the word resolution as much today, but just change.
Yeah, some people focus on this as a time of year of change. I think of every opportunity through life as an opportunity for change. But so I figured that today maybe it would be good to talk about change and what's that process look like. Not just for, like, as some people call them, New Year's resolutions, but throughout life, all 365 days and our entire lives, really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, change is good at any time, for that matter. Don't always have to wait for that calendar, but it seems like it's just something about that calendar. It just inspires us to just look about, okay, let's try and be my best self for as best as I can be. And a lot of them, unfortunately, will make them. But sometimes they just get thrown aside oh so very quickly.
It's tough to make change stick. A lot of people think, well, there's a fresh start. Sometimes that's why we do New Year's resolutions, have a fresh start on the calendar year. Some people move and try and get a fresh start that way. You know what? I'm in a new location. I'm going to have different friends and maybe a new home that I can keep this one better or something like that, a fresh start. But it's tough to make this fresh start stick because we're still carrying all of our old stuff from the old place or the old year. So without changing that baggage from before, it's hard to make new change stick, really.
So making, change and making something more effective in that way, do you think sometimes we just make a goal almost too impossible to reach from the start?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's good to have, like, kind of these long-range goals. You know what, 20 years down the road, I want to do this. Like, I've got a goal that at some point in time, I want to climb to the Everest base camp. That's not going to happen this decade, but it's a goal that's way down the road. Maybe I should be able to do the stairs first without getting out of breath. I'd say that just, but yeah, there's these long-range goals. That's good to have these dreams, but then what are the smaller steps? So people make goals about getting into shape or changing the way that they eat, lots of different goals, changing how they interact with their family. But what's the small goal that we can do today, and to focus on today rather than, you know what, I have to kind of attain this image that I have, that I want to make this grandiose goal. Because when life has setbacks, there's going to be setbacks in any goal that we have. So how do we see ourselves when we encounter those setbacks? Do we see ourselves as, oh, I failed, or as, okay, well, I found out a little bit more information. Didn't work this time, but that gives me information about what might work better next time. And to kind of have compassion for ourselves, I think, is a big piece of reaching any goal.
Yeah, and just taking it bit by bit. I know for one, just in terms of becoming a parent, this can sometimes relate to, you don't set out that when you have your kids that, oh, I can't wait to raise the next generation of adults and leaders of the world. No, you don't look at it in that way. You look at it as like, I can't wait to have a child. And then I think this is in a lot of ways why it's those milestones that start out ever so small, right? Like, you're just so happy that as a parent that this little one is, well, for example, if it's still, you know, in the womb, you're celebrating those weeks. Then it becomes celebrating those months. Then you're celebrating trimesters. And then finally when baby's here, you kind of start over again. You're looking at days, weeks, months to the point that you're driving loved ones crazy. Like, are you seriously counting in still at 19 months? How many months? Well, yes, yes, I am.
He's 49 months old now. Wait, how old is that?
But then as we look back, you know, that's when the milestones can sometimes be a bit more spread out to, mm-hmm. you know, something a bit more regular, yeah. like the years as an example. But transferring that over then to any old goal, to just, again, take it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're looking at, like, say, a goal of, like, weight loss is the most common one, it seems like.
Yeah.
If you're throwing 100 pounds out there as such a lofty goal, for example, right, that mm-hmm. seems so far away. But if you're taking it little bit by little bit, like, first I'm going to lose a pound a week mm-hmm. or something to that effect. A great place, again, to start small and set something really yeah. realistic and attainable. And then it also gives you something to celebrate every little bit, every mm-hmm. so often, rather than pass or fail of whether or not you hit that big 100 milestone.
Yeah, and even with the smaller goals, sometimes we look at that smaller goal of, oh, I didn't lose a pound this week. Well, there's tons of other factors that are playing into coming into effect. Were you sick? Is it that you're gaining muscle weight? So tons of different stuff. So looking at, you know what, I want to be healthier. It's kind of a vague goal, but what mm-hmm. what do I want to do that works towards that healthier place? Well, okay, I want to, you know what, lunches are going to be my healthier meal. I don't know what you want to do. So mm-hmm. I have this big goal that, you know what, I want to live a healthier lifestyle and that smaller one day at a time thing. So I think it's good to mix, like you're talking about parenting. Absolutely, we take the moments and focus on those moments, but then also, what do we want this child to be like down the road? Okay, we want them to follow God. We want them to grow to be independent. Whatever else you want them to be, well, what are things we're going to do now to begin to nurture that? Let's pray at mealtimes together. So that's a long-term inspired goal, but we're going to focus on right here, right now. We want this person to follow God. So, you know, we're going to go to church. It's something that I may have not done for myself in the past, but I want to do it now.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's good to balance those long-term goals and right here, right now.
All you ever wanted to know on The Rock 98.5, it's Heart to Heart with David Disty from Disty Counseling Services as we look forward to the new year, looking forward to maybe it's a resolution, maybe it's just general change you want to make in your lives, giving some support and encouragement to those that may be looking at something in the new year. And hey, if you want to share your goals with us, feel free to call us up, 783-5160. Maybe we can provide some pointers and just through some of the things we were talking about, and certainly very wide ranging in terms of mm-hmm. What people might have on their minds. Maybe it's improving their marriage, for example, mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Yeah, and it's wide ranging, but I think there's some common themes between all these different goals. Mm-hmm. So there's, what is the cost of change and what's the cost of staying the same? So until we reach a point where we're like, okay, you know what, staying the same is causing a bunch of issues. You know, I've seen my health deteriorate, or I've seen too much conflict with my family. And so this cost is getting bigger and bigger. And now, you know what, maybe it's time that I'm going to put the effort in and pay that cost to make the change happen. So sometimes we got frustrated with ourselves. Well, why can't I make this happen? Well, what is the cost for staying the same? If you've not reached a point where it really seems important enough to change, then of course you're not going to change. So looking for, what is the cost to change? What's the cost for staying the same? And then sometimes you can narrow that down by looking at, well, instead of I want to make all these grandiose changes, I can make these smaller ones because there's less cost to making those smaller ones. You know what? I might not be able to change everything about my diet, but maybe I can eat less bacon. I don't know. That, as I say that, that's a hard one for me to say. Maybe
hard.
I should choose something else.
definitely. okay, then like you say, making it attainable, instead of just saying no flat out, but only a couple times, in moderation.
Moderation, so just like 2 meals of bacon.
There you go.
Per day.
Oh, rather than three? It is an improvement.
It is change, yeah.
Like we said, make them attainable and realistic. And then, yes, for some. And I know that's a really good point, you know, outlining, you know, the cost of staying the same, the cost of staying the versus changing. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it, too, and outlining the pros and cons. And also just outlining, too, you know, what does happen if I do carry on the path that I am on, and not just how that affects me, but it potentially affects the loved ones I have in my life.
Yeah.
And just in general of going down the wrong path, if you will, in certain things, outlining those out certainly goes so much further, I think, in some ways, in encouraging someone. This is the reason why I'm doing this, and helps stay on track and on the path, rather than just say I'm going to lose weight just to lose weight kind of thing, right? Well, why? Right?
Yeah, what are you going to gain from it? And so, like, for
hopefully
my
nothing.
Example earlier, well said.
Sorry.
So, like, from my example earlier, what am I going to gain from improving my health? Well, maybe I will eventually be able to make that trip to Everest a possibility.
Sure.
So having that kind of carrot in front of yourself and not a Twinkie in front of yourself. Oh, we keep on going back to those puns.
That's okay.
So yeah, having that, what am I going to gain from this in front of yourself, that can definitely help inspire you.
Well, even just something, it doesn't even have to be something physically related.
Yeah.
Like something about being less of a complainer, trying to be more grateful, for example. Even something like that deserves its own forethought in terms of, you know, what am I going to gain from it? What am I leaving behind as a result of this change? And, you know, a grateful attitude, as an example, you know, goes so much longer. Here we are in this world of social media, which the more and more we observe society, the more we realize it's kind of a anti-social media, making us all really quick to argue or get disruptive with each other, rather than be more of a thankful kind of society, if you will. I mean, look at any restaurant, for that matter. Are you more likely to complain when something goes wrong, or are you going to be more grateful to make note when things have actually gone right for you?
Yeah. Some people find great benefit in doing like a gratitude journal or something like that at the end of the day. You know what's good around me? And I find it beneficial just whenever I'm in a bad mood to look around. You know what's good around me right now? I look out the window and I see the beautiful snow. And man, I love this time of year. I might be frustrated with my kids, but you know what? I'm seeing them grow. I'm seeing, sure, they're irritated right now, but you know what? I'm teaching them skills to be able to manage their emotions. So purposefully looking around you at what is good is a great thing. And I was actually reading and talking to a friend this morning about something called the Daily Examine, I believe it's called. And that's a spiritual practice of, at the end of the day, going through and looking at, you know, in each moment, where was God? And when you have that focus of where was God in each moment, that totally changes our perspective on life. And then if you can begin, like, start with that and then move on towards moving throughout the day and going consistently, you know, where is God in this moment? What's God doing right here, right now? That will, I think, inevitably lead to more of that attitude of gratitude.
All you ever wanted to know, heart to heart with David Disty of Disty Counseling Services. And as one decides to embark on this new year, maybe wanting to lead some changes in their own life. This goes in so many different areas, whether it's spiritually, physically, mentally as well. Just can go such a long ways into giving someone a boost, if you will, in a lot of ways. And not only potentially can you yourself be affected, but maybe others seeing the change in you ultimately too, such a long way it can go as well.
Yeah, there's a great ripple effect, especially in families, when an adult changes something about themselves, it affects everybody else, particularly the children. If the adult is making healthier decisions for activity and for diet, then the children are naturally going to do that. If the adult changes the way that they look at things, moving towards more positivity, that rubs off on the children too. So you don't give up if you try it for a while and say, oh, I don't see a difference. Don't give up, because it does take time for those ripples to affect the other people, but it will. So keep on doing it for that reason.
Well, and likewise for the individual themselves, this does take some time. And they often say just the repeated action, the repetitiveness to really become part of a routine. It does take a lot of work to, you know, have those reminders to remember to stay on track and be focused on the task at hand.
And to work together as a community to help each other too, to say, you know what, I really want to achieve this. I'm working on this. And then you've got to get people around you that are of like mind. And so, for example, like if your partner says, I want to do this, rather than scoff and say, oh, you've never done it before, or I doubt this is going to work. So you know what? Swallow that instinct to say it's never going to work and say, you know what? How can I help? Sure, it may not work, but we're moving towards something, and that's a good thing. So helping each other is very important, I think.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. You don't want to shoot the person down for wanting to maybe tackle on something new. And, you know, the way we talk about this, I know there was something that my wife really wanted to try and pursue as a goal for herself. And at first when I heard it, I had that kind of unease of like, oh, okay, interesting, very interesting. I'm not really... In my head, I'm thinking, I'm really not sure how this is going to go, but I don't want to be that the buzzkill of being like, oh, sure, yeah, like really going to like to see this happen. I decided to just like, oh, you know, that's real interesting, you know, go after it, see how it goes, and let's see where you're at. And well, a couple months had passed, and she's like, you know, when I thought of that, maybe I didn't really think of the best. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of had those initial thoughts, but I didn't want to put you down in put you down in that way, in case this really was something there that you really wanted to to give it your best shot. Now, realizing from what I hear from you, maybe even that wouldn't have been the right recourse to play the I told you so part, but rather it said, well, let's go back a bit. Let's figure out what happened. Why were you able to? Because obviously there was a bit of a drive in you to want to pick it up in the first place. So rather than let's come to an agreement to shut it down, well, no, how can we actually make it work, make it an investment, and really let you soar with what you want to go after.
So is this something that you really do want to drop, or is there something that maybe we can find a new way to pursue it? And when I work with couples, often, like, there's in couples counseling, there's solvable problems, so things that we can figure out, like which restaurant do we go to, that kind of thing. And then there's perpetual problems, things that a couple keeps fighting over again and again, and we got to find out a different way. And one thing that I often do with couples in those perpetual problems is figure out, you know what, what's behind your side of it? Rather than fighting about the budget, let's figure out what's behind your side on the finances. And is there a way that we can achieve your goals, your needs, your desires, without necessarily fighting about the budget like this? And I think with the goal that you're talking about for your wife, is there... what's behind that goal? And is there something, a different way that we can reach that? If she's yearning for relationship, then how do we build that? If she's wanting a sense of success, well, this might not be the way to achieve that success, but how do we get there? If she's wanting something else, then how do we get there? So looking at what's behind the goal sometimes can help. And sure, maybe this goal isn't going to work out. Maybe my goal to have going to Everest isn't going to work out, but we can look at what's behind that goal, and we can definitely achieve that in some other creative ways.
Absolutely. Heart to Heart with David Disty. If you'd like to join our conversation, we welcome you to do so. Call us up right here, right now, 306-783-5160. Again, David is a registered counselor with Disty Counseling Services. If people do want to reach out to you, maybe for some help, this in itself might be a goal people might have, is that they really want to make a striving effort to improve themselves. Maybe counseling is part of that solution for them. Again, outline how people can get a hold of you, David.
Yeah, you can give me a call at 316-0101 or email me at ddisty@gmail.com. That's ddyste @gmail.com.
Super. We'll take a quick break here on Heart to Heart. All you ever wanted to know on The Rock 98.5. More with David and myself after this. We're back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. Change in the new year. A lot of people looking at that January 1st as an opportunity to make a change, maybe in their physical lifestyle, maybe like we've talked about already, spiritually, mentally. It all can go into just improving oneself. And hey, no time like the present, and no time like a new year to look at some of those opportunities. And now, David, it's for a lot of people too, of course, always important to look at oneself, to make change and improve. But often a lot of times too, we have concern for loved ones who we want maybe to give that gentle or maybe sometimes not so gentle nudge to make an improvement in their own life. This is often a very difficult thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Our desire sometimes is to, well, I want the other person to change this. And if they change that, it'd be easier for me to change too. But it's a two-way street that, well, if you want the other person to change so that you can change, well, maybe there's something about you that needs to change as well first. So I often talk with couples about there's this thing called the pursue distance cycle. There's in any relationship, whether it's couple or children or at church, there's always going to be one person who wants more closeness and will pursue the other person. One who wants more distance will kind of back off. Mm. So I use the analogy of it's like a dog with a turtle, and the dog is barking at the turtle, come out and play, come out and play. And the more the dog barks, the less the turtle wants to come out of its shell. And so ironically, the dog, in order to get the turtle to come out and play, needs to kind of sit quietly next to the turtle, and in order for that turtle to have the space to come out and engage. And also, I'm not putting all the responsibility on the person who's the more like the dog, but also if the turtle wants the dog to stop barking, it's got to come out of its shell a little bit too. So yeah, if you want your partner to change, then what needs to change in how you're approaching them? If you're the, usually it'd probably be the pursuer, the dog who wants the other person to change. I shouldn't say that, it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So if you're one of these, the dog or the turtle, what can you do to change how you're interacting with your partner that will make it more likely for them to change? And that's not meaning that if you change everything, your partner will change, but it sure does increase the odds. If you stop barking at your partner, literally and metaphorically, then it's far more likely that your partner will go, okay, you know what? I can engage in this because I'm getting some of that appreciation back. Or maybe we're engaging in these discussions in a more helpful way. There's not the raised voices, or there's not the tension that was there before.
Yeah. Well, and this is often like how we've talked about in the past in terms of like if there's a couple out there who or just one person in a couple, in a relationship for that matter, that really wants to say come to you for counseling. Mm-hmm. And they would love to do it, of course, in that group kind of way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes through maybe it's just one partner not wanting to come forward and do it, the other person thinks, well, then I guess we can't then. But that's not true. There, no. Like you say, time and time again, there is stuff that can be done.
Absolutely.
With just one of potentially the two in the party, or if it's difficulty with a certain family member. Hey, yeah, it's nice when everyone is there, but it's not to say nothing can be done unless everyone is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely lots that can be done if you just come in by yourself, or if the family's saying, well, we want this one person to change, but they won't come into counseling. Well, come in, bring in whoever is willing to come in, and there's stuff that we can do. We can change. If we change one part of the family, it will affect the other person too. Mm-hmm. Might not happen as quick, but it will likely make that change that you're looking for still.
And just like you said, there's a lot that those individuals can do just in their own regard to help that person out. And yep. I mean, the same goes with just even difficulty with, you know, when it comes to kids, as an example too, and raising kids, often the hardest things you're trying to communicate or deal with your child, oftentimes, getting them into something, say, such as this might prove to be difficult, or getting them to open up. But again, it's realizing, hey, too, mom, dad have their own part in, you know, how a child is the way that they are. And sometimes, there are some hard truths that have to be learned there, and realizing how our own behaviors can directly impact what our kid is like.
Yeah. And with younger kids, like, they often do mimic our responses. So if we're like, oh, I want my kid to stop being angry, I'm so frustrated that my kid's angry. Well, okay, the kid's kind of might be mimicking your frustration. And like with my own middle son, we're dealing with his anger and he's four. And so like, just do what you've been asked. But as I get more upset, he gets more upset. And I found that, wait, if I just go and sit down in his room with him and just sit side by side with him, he calms down and he listens. If I yell at him, Dan, go do this, he's very unlikely to do it. So yeah, I change how I'm dealing with my frustration, and then that gives him the tools that he needs to. It gives him the emotional space that he needs to do what his job is, which is to usually to play and to learn to clean up and to manage his own emotions. That's his job as a four-year-old.
Heart to Heart today with David Disty of Disty Counseling Services. Any other guiding to helping out those family members who have concern for loved ones?
Well, one thing that I get often from people is saying, well, this loved one is an addict. They're either addicted to gambling or drugs or alcohol or workaholic or whatever. And how do I get them to change? That's a very common question. I want this person who is addicted to whatever it might be to change, and what can I do? And that's a tough one, because there's it is kind of limited in what you can do as a person to make the other person change, because there's so much going on in that person's history and in their present life that leads them to the addiction. So one thing that I often talk with people about is kind of looking at life through the other person's shoes of, okay, we know that there's a reason for addiction. There's always a reason for why people do what they do. So what's the reason for this person's addiction? What are they running from? What are they hiding from? What are they trying to cover up? What are they trying to achieve? With a workaholic, often they're trying to meet some vague definition of success that you can never meet because it's too vague of a definition. So there's a level of compassion that can come in and say, you know what? This person's not just a jerk. They're doing this because they're trying to achieve something that's been drilled into them since they're a little kid about what success is. With the someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, well, what drove them to that? Often with addiction, there's some sort of trauma that starts things off. So is there a piece that we don't know about? Odds are very likely that there's something that you don't know about that is leading to that addiction. So how does that impact how you interact with this person? How does that impact how you see this person? Is it just they're a lousy drunk? Or is it, you know what? This person is also the victim of something pretty horrible that happened. So I think changing our perspective of the person that we want to help is an important piece.
Yeah. And it's often a very tough process, I know, for one, when just even addressing or trying to get the individual, for example, to open up. And I can recall, even in some circumstances too, it's where a lot of families struggle with that decision of how can they best approach, you know, that individual without the worry about making things, you know, come apart even worse.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it can cause a lot of fear in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah. And in any sort of intervention, and I use that word loosely, not like the family intervention of everybody gets together.
Yeah.
Anytime there's some sort of intervention to change anything, we need to make sure that there's safety, because there is a lot of emotional turmoil that goes on with some types of change. So with someone who is actively in addiction, we want to make sure that they are physically and emotionally safe before we start digging. So we have to create that environment of safety. And sometimes that's the family coming alongside, and rather than saying, you need to change, which is a terrifying thing for people, the family can come along and say, you know what? I know there's a lot of stuff going on inside you, and I really feel for you, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid of how this is impacting you right now and how it's impacting other people around you. So rather than blaming and saying, you have to change, creating that sense of support. Because the person who is struggling with the addiction, they can't do it on their own. They've likely tried before to change and haven't been able to do it on their own. Or they've tried other things to deal with the pain that they're going through, and it hasn't worked. And that's why they've gone to the addiction. So they need to know that, you know what? I'm not in this alone. I've got people around me. And when they get to that point, then there's more likelihood that they'll be willing to go to counseling or go to rehab or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and like you had talked about a bit beforehand, too, sometimes if it's done in anger, you know, anger is what's going to be the response that comes right back, whether you're dealing with, a young child or someone else who's going through just a difficult time. Often it's just easiest for them to match whatever's being thrown at them. So,
yeah, and that goes with all sorts of things. If you try and deal with someone who is engaging in self-harming behavior, try and deal with them with anger or controlling them, then it's going to likely make things worse. So, yeah, that softer side of, you know what, I've got your back. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. Not that I'm here to control you and you have to change everything.
All you ever wanted to know, heart to heart, with David Disty of Disty Counseling Services. Sorry, interrupted you there. Something else you want to take from it?
No.
Okay, no worries. We'll take a quick break, but more with David. If anyone has any questions or concerns or wants something clarified, more than welcome to do so. 783-5160. All you ever wanted to know in Heart to Heart continues when we come back. We're back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Last Friday of the month of 2018, for that matter, we have Heart to Heart with David Disty, and David with us in studio as we talk about change. Lots of people will be looking at the new year as an opportunity to better themselves or look at, like we've talked about, trying to provide that help and support for potentially a loved one as well. And like we alluded to a bit before, you know, often with those loved ones, sometimes we got to be prepared to hear something maybe back from that someone we have concern with that, they have something in mind to, help us with or potentially, wanting to push us to do something to help them. And often that can be tough to hear, too, sometimes. Like, we're all set to point something at fault, maybe with someone that we know or love, but sometimes we're taken aback when they throw something back in our court. And sometimes it takes a lot to just restrain from, you know, turning it into a fight sometimes.
Yeah, because it can be so easy to get into that defensive posture of, you know what? No, we're focusing on you. You're the problem. But, you know, no, there's always something on my side that can be changed rather than just you need to change. What can I change? How can I make this a little bit better, too? Like we look at that so often with parenting that, oh, this kid needs to change. Well, what do I need to change about how I'm parenting or about how I'm dealing with my own frustrations like I talked about earlier? Looking at ourselves is a very important piece. And coming at it in a compassionate way, both compassion for yourself and for the other person. You know what? Well, I'm frustrated that I didn't meet my goal or I stopped going to the gym or whatever it was. Well, you know what? It's going to happen. With every goal, there's going to be setbacks. And so knowing that ahead of time and saying, you know what? I don't need to be frustrated with myself because I can try again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I can try again the next time. And then same thing with the other people in your life. You know what? There's always the other person is always going to have setbacks too. So rather than getting just mad at them, well, what's going on? And is there a way that I can help with this? Mm-hmm. Or is there something that I can contribute to?
Forgiveness over slip-ups too can go such a long ways as well.
Yeah, forgiveness. And I like... we often think about grace as something that God gives us, which is a huge part of it. But how do we kind of mirror that towards other people and towards ourselves too? So just like God is gracious towards us, are we gracious towards others? Are we gracious towards ourselves? Often not. And so that's something that we can strive for. And that's tough. Like being gracious towards each other is a goal. But when we're not gracious towards each other, are we gracious towards ourselves for the mistake and graciousness? Oh, I'm getting all tied up in loops here.
That's okay.
So, yeah, it's like, how do we be compassionate with ourselves when we fail to be compassionate with ourselves sometimes? Rather than beating ourselves up over and over again, let's just wait, hold on, slow down. Let's get back to the beginning again. Try again.
Well, and like we said, a lot of it can come back to some of the stuff we mentioned just right off the top, coming up with those reachable goals that are, you know, within reach, not just picking a mountain as high as Everest as an example as our launching point, because it's a lofty goal and sure, it's fine, but hey, we got to learn to crawl before we can climb.
Yeah. And so sometimes if it's good to set those goals that, you know what, someday I want to have that lofty goal, but what needs to happen first? And if we find out that there's something in the way or we fail to meet that goal, well, let's back up and see what's the smaller step that needs to be taken. Often I have to do that as a counselor is, okay, we're not reaching this goal right now. I need to back up and see what's getting in the way. There's some other obstacle that we have to tackle first. And so if it's your goal, whatever your goal is, back up and say, okay, what else do I need to do first? There's something else that has to happen first. And that's okay. Let's back up and do that goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, even scaling it to just something as simple as, I know we have the new year right around the corner. And so, yeah, lots of people love to be able to use that as that reference point for them. But if we do a slip up and fall kind of thing, hey, you don't have to wait till January 1st of 2020.
No, today's a great day to start.
To get back up on it and go after it once again. But just, again, taking it day by day, week by week, or even scale it back if it's something that's ever so drastic in your life, that if it's about, you know, trying not to snack between those meals, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you really have to scale it back and even just go hour by hour about, hey, I did it.
I love the saying from AA, just focus on making the next right decision. It's not about being sober forever, which is a good goal to strive for, but I'm going to make the next right decision. So that goes for every goal. It's just today, oh, I feel like having a snack. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to say I'm never going to, but I'm going to make the right decision right here, right now, and just focus on that one.
Absolutely. And like we've talked about, goes more beyond just the most popular resolution, and that's simply to lose weight. It goes so many different areas in our own lives and the ones that we maybe have in store for others and loved ones, reminding that it's not just about nudging that person in the direction they need to go, but also realizing, hey, what can I do myself to help that person as a support?
Yeah. And so what can I do myself to help others, whether it be your kids or your coworkers or your partner or whoever it is? And what can I do for myself is big. And focusing on ourselves to kind of make those ripples that will eventually affect others too. That's big, whether it be like we're talking about with a loved one who's in some sort of addiction, or whether it be with anybody, do what you can and then let those ripples kind of spread out from there.
All right. David Disty of Disty Counseling Services, been our guest today on Heart to Heart. And if people want to turn to you, David, maybe for some help and support along this way, again, just a reminder of what you're able to provide for people as, you know, a help and a guide, just in terms of, you know, helping people along the way, along this path.
Yeah, I do counseling, individual, couples, families, whatever kind of setup you would like. My view as a family therapist is the more the merrier. So often I do work with on individual goals, but as a couple, because then people get to see each other in a different light and help each other towards that individual goal. And also, like, as a family, some people say, oh, I just want you to fix Junior. But I like to work with the entire family, if possible, to say, okay, you might want Junior to change, but what else needs to happen in the whole family in order to help Junior change too? So yeah, I do individual work. I work with couples and I work with families. And you can give me a call or text at 316-0101 or email me at ddysty@gmail.com. That's ddyste@gmail.com.
Great. Anything further you want to provide for people before we wrap things up for today?
I think the three main things are compassion for yourself and for others, taking the small steps. And if you encounter a roadblock, well, maybe there's a smaller step that needs to happen. Okay. And if you need to change a goal, look at, well, what's my motivation? What's the main thing that I want to get out of this, whether it be health or whether it be relationship, whatever it might be. And is there another way I can go about that goal? So those are the three main takeaways I'd say from today.
Great. Well, again, thanks so much for being here. Have a great new year.
You too, Jordan.
And we'll see you at the end of January. Another edition of Heart to Heart with David Disty. You can tune in the last Friday of the month. That is our program for today. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.